Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Ulysses Butch Slaughter. It is Sex and the Struggle time. It is Tuesday night. This would be what, like August the 29th? My brother Dave is on with me.
Hey.
Man, what's up, man? It feels fantastic to be on with you. And, man, we are just like, we're like 18 days away from the thing now, Dave. 18 days
I love
away.
That.
Yeah, man, look, I mean, like 18 days away. I mean, 19 if you include this one, but we're 19 days away from Sex and the Struggle, Let's Get It On, the live event that is happening September the 16th, 2017 at the MJ Free Theater in Chester, Pennsylvania. Brother, I got so much that I want to report on. So many fantastic things have happened. So many new relationships have happened. And Dave, I think the thing that I keep saying to myself and to people that this event is the beginning of, it's the brick in the development of an institution. This is not just an event. This is not going to end at 10 o'clock, September the 16th. This thing is now in full motion, full networks being developed, full partnerships, relationships. This thing is on, man, and it is going nowhere. And I'm just excited for all the people that I've met, all the people that have stepped up to help, all the people that are like, yeah, I'm going to be there. The people that are like, oh, I wish I could be there. Tell me what I can do. Sex and the Struggle, Let's Get It On, September the 16th, 2017. You really just got to be there. You got to be there. If you can be there.
I was telling you that I was watching some of the videos that you posted online with some of the, I think Betsy Crane was one of the videos, and I think there's one other video that I saw. You've got pictures and write-ups of the different people, Tony Rullo I saw, and I could feel the energy building behind this thing. It feels good.
It does feel great, man. Having Tony on with us is incredible. I got a video I'm going to be posting. Tony and I did a video last Friday together. I'm going to post that probably tomorrow. I've got other videos that I'm working on. I got some great content I'm dropping, just a lot of different images around this thing. You know, there are different people who have different perspectives on sex and the struggle. And we've talked about this from the very beginning, man. I mean, they're the macro and the micro struggles related to sex and the struggle. And from everything from, you know, like always talk about the politics. We always talk about the economy. We always talk about those big things, but then there are those internal things that all of us are constantly dealing with. And so, these things are coming up. Man, I just got to make this one last point. I get a call from someone yesterday who wants to be at the event, and her organization is working on sexuality and autism. Now, I had never thought about this. This was not something that was on my radar, Dave. It wasn't something that I think about, but I don't have anybody close to me that struggles with autism or that lives with autism. I put it that way. There's nobody around me. That's not something that I am privy to. And I think what happens is that there's a way that sometimes we get in our head that the only struggles that there are our struggles that we are dealing with. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm not dealing with autism, it's just not something that's on my radar. So when somebody calls me up, I'm like, whoa, I didn't think of that. I never thought about, sexuality, sensuality, and autism. So we're going to have somebody there talking very briefly, September the 16th, 2017, about autism and sexuality, the desires that people with autism have. Man, look, I'm like, really? It just keeps getting better and better and better, man. And so if you're out there and you want to find out more about Sex and the Struggle, you can go to Eventbrite, get your tickets. I've decided, I said to people, I put this on my Facebook page, that I'm going to do a buy two, get a third free just during this hour of Sex and the Struggle. So I'm going to be watching. If somebody decides that they're going to be at Sex and the Struggle, you want three people to come out, two people pay, we'll let the third person, we'll give the third person a ticket to get into Sex and the Struggle. A two-hour event that's going to include Betsy Crane, as you mentioned, Eric Grimes, Beverly Dale, Jules Purnell, Tony Rullo, our own practitioner partner, Tony Rullo, and the great Frenchie Davis. And I've been talking with Tazima lately. We are going to get Tazima Davis on some form of a FaceTime Skype interview. She is going to be in the house with us for Sex and the Struggle that night.
Oh,
not
nice.
Physically in body, but we're going to pop Tazima up on a big screen, and Tazima's going to be in the house with us, man. So it's coming together really well. Yeah, man. You know what? I love Tazima. You know, everybody I talk to that ever hears Tazima is like, oh, I love Tazima. She's got to be there. She's got to be there. And I know Tazima has some other commitments, but I said, hey, Tazima, how about we FaceTime or Skype or something like that? We put you up on the wall like the Great Wizard of Oz. You know what I mean? We put you up there and we let you do your thing from Chi-Town. And you can drop the science on
a big
us.
Screen so she can look down on people. Make her the weird.
I want her presence to be felt, brother. I want people
right.
to get the full power of Tazima. You know, so she will be with us. And people just keep coming in, man. You know, there's a and you know what? I'm looking now. She just showed up on us, man. Tazima, what's up, Tazima?
Yo,
are
yo.
Are you with us?
I am here.
Yeah,
yep.
You sounded like the beautiful witch. There she is. We were just talking about you. We talked you up.
That's right.
I told Dave, I said, hey, I wanted you there. You couldn't be there in 3D, so we're going to get you in 2D. We're going to get 2D.
Right.
2TD on September 16th, 2017. We're gonna put you up on the wall, and we're gonna let you tell Muggs to Zima what it is. That's what's gonna happen. Well,
I'm into it.
She's in. Good. Well, anybody who also wants to be in at least in this phone call for the next hour, you want to call 657-383-0185. Again, that's 657-383-0185. I was saying to Dave, Tazima, you probably heard me. So much is coming up for Sex and Struggle. Let's Get It On. So many conversations. So many people hearing about this. And this is just, really, this is just the beginning of it. Because this is now an institution. It's not an event. It's an institution. And we're going to keep building this thing conversation by conversation, event by event, post by post. It is alive, and it is going to live forever. So I'm ecstatic. I am. I'm ecstatic. I'm meeting with the director of Widener's Human Sexuality Studies, meeting with him on Friday to talk about the university's role and the work that we're doing. You know, Widener has the only Center for Human Sexuality Studies that offers a master's degree and a PhD in the country. And they are in the city of Chester, in this small city of Chester, 36,000 people population. There is a university called Widener, and they have the only university in the country. This is where we're doing Sex and the Struggle. The very first one is being done in the same city with the only Center for Human Sexuality Studies in the country. What are the chances? You know, what are the chances? So I'm just like, I'm geeked. I'm running on fumes some days, but man, I'm excited. And I got a lot of people to thank, and I'm going to be throwing off some names in a little while. You know, I had a question that I wanted to ask you. I want to talk some about the I want us to do a playlist tonight. We're going to talk about a playlist because I'm actually going to compile this playlist for Sex and the Struggle Live. I'm actually going to write this stuff down this time and inviting people to chime in. I'll be back and forth book looking at people chiming in because this is the playlist we are going to use that night for Sex and the Struggle. But I had a question that I wanted to ask the two of you. And it had to do with sex and the struggle, of course. When you're talking to people about intimacy, what men and women alike, what is the most common thing you hear about their desire to get close to someone and the apprehension that comes with it? Why are people more likely to be apprehensive when they're wanting to be intimate with somebody? What did the two of you hear?
Tazima, you want to start?
Sure. I actually wanted to counter with a question of what do we mean by intimacy? Because sometimes we mean actual, like, doing it sex, and sometimes we mean like getting close. And I know that you clarified about the closeness piece, but there's also this thing of, like, intimacy in sex, because there's the kind of sex that you can have that is not very intimate, like you just show up and you do a thing and then it's over. And then there is, like, that really intimate sex. I actually had a wonderful event last night. I call it the quickie. I'm having another one tomorrow. And this particular one was with women who were married and they have kids, so it's a mom's group. And one of the ladies was talking about, you know, in her marriage, her biggest challenge was actually, like, allowing herself to be vulnerable with her husband. Now, this is her husband. This is not even, like, someone who, like, she's dating or she's unsure. They've been together for several years. And it's like there's kind of this feeling of emotional nakedness. And she didn't put it in those words, but it's like the super vulnerability of actually being known. I've talked about this before. And it's the being known is the thing that we want the most, and it's also the thing that's most terrifying. And so, of course, we're going to feel apprehensive about, like, oh, my God, this person is actually going to, like, see me. I'm actually going to be vulnerable. I don't know what's going to happen. And that's what's actually pretty exciting about having sex that happens to be really intimate as well is the potential for the level of being known. It was difficult for me personally to reveal a few of the things that I like with partners over time because I've gotten mixed results about that. But the less that I reveal about the specifics of what I like, the less likely I am to actually get the things I like. And then I'm resentful and pissed off because I'm not getting what I want. So it's like there's this dynamic tension which actually makes sex really hot. Is to have that wanting, that yearning, that thing that, like, to be known in that way, but then the risk of it as well. So I think it's pretty standard fare for people to be concerned about being seen deeply, being known deeply, but it's also the thing that we're going for. So even with this lady and with so many other people that I talk to, that apprehension is about, like, actually being revealed. And will that be acceptable? Will I still be okay if I'm completely telling the real, real truth, if I really get naked here, if I really show the jiggly parts of who I am, is it going to be okay? That's the apprehension that I hear the most.
Dave, before you respond here, I want to see if we can take this just a layer deeper, if this is a layer deeper, in fact, Tazima. You say being seen, that is it, that people are afraid of being seen, either physically seen or emotionally seen. What do you think people will be seen? What do you think that they will reveal? How do you describe what generally speaking is there that people are trying to hide?
It's pretty simple. It's the place that is the most icky, give me the willies, yucky, I don't want to show that, is the thing that, for whatever reason, I have disowned in myself. or that I think is bad because of my upbringing. Now, I'm using myself as an example, but anyone can insert that in themselves. So part of the reason, for example, if someone grew up with I see this a lot in my practice, actually, in my sex and intimacy coaching practice for couples, is that the biggest taboos and challenges around sexuality are with people who grew up really, really religiously conservative. So super conservatism at home, and then they're dealing with these, and in their particular background, it was against sex and against sexuality and against sexual expression. And so they either rebelled or early on or later on. But either way, they are still sort of hiding that piece of that they are sexual beings from, like, everyone, including their partner. So whatever it is in the person's background that was sort of the worst or the most shameful or the thing that was the most criticized, for example, in my life, it was being overly emotional. Don't be so dramatic. Don't get carried away. Just be intellectual, like be smart about it. So whatever the thing is that you feel the most shame about because of your upbringing, it's going to be different for everybody. But there is that one thing or a few things or a cluster of things that are sort of all related that are the thing that that people do not want to reveal. And by the way, it just really shows, like, no matter what, like, you think you're hiding it, but you're not really hiding it. Because you can tell, like, what it is. And that was a big, like, really? I'm not really faking it? Like, you really know what's going on with me? And it was, as I started to learn this through my growth work of in various entities, I did a bunch of growth work. As I discovered that this was the truth, I felt more and more relief about being able to sort of be more of myself more often in more situations, becoming more and more vulnerable with more and more people, and then actually growing more intimate friendships, romantic partnerships, and all that.
Thank you, Tazima. Dave.
Yeah. So I find it... Tazima, I like what you said about the range of intimacy. You know, just show up and do your thing, and it's over. And it's like, and I call that just fucking. Like, I just want to get together and fuck. You know, I just have this energy in my body, and I want to just move it through it, and it would feel so good to just, like, let that just ride all through my body and work its way out. And then the other side, the other extreme to that is there's somebody I feel so connected to, so close to, that I just want to just, like, sit in that energy. I just want to be so close and so connected that I feel like the boundaries between our two bodies have disappeared and we're actually connected as one. And so that's what, in my mind, I see as the full range. And then, but I think what I work with, you know, what I teach, what we talk about with practice is, you know, fucking is one thing, but suppose you want more than that. Suppose you need that touch. And yet you don't have that person that you want to that you have this intimate connection with, and this person actually feeds you just by being that person. So how do you get what you need? And so I think all three of us have been part of at least one practice where we've learned to own our own intimacy, own our own sexuality, own our own feelings, that emotion, that thing that we need, and we're able to engage in a practice. And there's more than one practice, and we talk a lot about different types of practices we have on this show. And but being able to engage in a practice, in a routine that actually keeps you fed with that, so that when you're not getting that, you're not walking around hungry all the time. And I think that's what I find with the people that I work with, and trying and bringing them into to this community and opening their eyes from, you know, someone who hasn't been touched in so long because they haven't been in a relationship, all the way to, you know, suddenly they're being told that there's no reason for you to not be touched. You know, if no one has stroked your pussy in 10 years and 15 years, and you've been sitting around waiting for something to happen, or maybe you've given up on any possibility of anything happening, and then suddenly you're, this person is hearing for the first time that there's no reason that I can't have this. If I want it, all I have to do is ask for it. And there are practices that we engage in that will give you the touch that you need. We talk about how important touch is to our bodies. You know, we're all spiritual beings, and we're in these physical bodies that have needs. What happens when you don't meet those needs? Well, it's just like when you don't eat or when you don't put gas or oil in your car. You know, things start to deteriorate. Things start to slow down. You don't get optimal performance. It's the same thing with our bodies.
Thank you, Dan.
And I want to jump in here and say and be like abundantly clear that touch is required for human beings. So in the case
Absolutely.
Of a woman who hasn't been touched or a man who hasn't been touched in so long, we are all, generally speaking, in the West, we are all touch-starved to some degree. And touch starvation goes so undiagnosed, like people being tight and upset. And, I mean, really, a lot of it can be solved by something as simple as a hug, a caress on the arm, or more intense, genital play, connecting sexually, being sensual in your body, dancing, being with others, connecting sensually, sexually, all of those things are nutrients, essential nutrients that we need. And the fact that people are doing without it, or even in the case of like some of the women, or one woman in particular from last night again, she said, you know, there are times where she says no to her husband to a kiss or a hug when she actually really wants it. And I'm like, you and no other professional will be able to help you until you admit to yourself that you need it and want it and you decide you can have it.
That's right. That's right. You're responsible for your own body, your own well-being, just like when you're in an airplane and they tell you before you try to help put an air mask on someone else, you need to take care of your own. What's going to happen if you don't is you're not going to have time to get the other person's air mask on, and you're not going to have your own.
Thank you both. Something comes to mind for me as I'm listening to you two talk, and I wonder what you think of this. I certainly didn't want to attempt to put words in either of you all's mouths, and you all get plenty of good stuff to say without my trying to lead you anyplace. And I often wonder, Dave and Tazim, about this thing of a false perfection that people feel they're trying to cover up.
Mm.
This thing of, I got it together. And if I open myself up to you, you'll see that I don't have it together. And then what happens?
Mm.
You know, if you see that I don't have it together, what becomes of me? Because, you know, if you see that I don't have it together, then that means that everybody sees that I don't have it together. And if everybody sees that I don't have it together, what is my value? And so when I'm
mm-hmm.
talking to people about this thing of intimacy and connection, there have been times in the last few days where this has become a very deep conversation for me. What does it mean
mm-hmm.
for someone to just say what they feel, express what they feel? Now, I think one of the beautiful things about sexual intimacy is that you don't have to say anything. You really don't have, and I think this is where people miss an opportunity to communicate. There are ways that we communicate with our mouths and the fucking words just fuck it up. I was talking with a friend of mine, and she pointed out a video I haven't seen, but she was talking about a Chris Rock video where they were talking about married people. And if you want to have sex, don't get married. And something along the lines of the scenario had it that the wife and husband were getting into bed, and then one of them said something. They were taking their clothes off, getting ready to have sex, and then one of them said something, and then kind of fucked it up. And the other one was like, "Well, why'd you have to say that?" And so now, instead of having sex, they're putting their clothes back on because of what came out of somebody's mouth. I think sometimes we talk too much, we think too much, and we dismiss feeling. And so as it relates to the intimacy part, the sexual intimacy, physical sexual intimacy, and what we might call emotional intimacy, sometimes we don't want to, as you said, Tazima, we don't want to show the jiggly physical parts, right? And we don't want to show the jiggly emotional parts. And when they're revealed, it just means that I don't look like the magazine, or I don't sound like, you know, the reporter. There's something off here with me, and I don't want you to see it. And so I think when I think about this question, the question of intimacy, it always kind of comes back to I'm trying to hide the fact that I'm not perfect when I know I'm not perfect to begin with.
Yeah, I want to share something like a really cool experience I've had, and I've seen it repeated a few different times. And there's this question of, just as you were saying, like, what if someone finds out I'm not perfect? It is really, really, really fucking cool when you have a group of people or even a partnership where both people end up being more vulnerable and they say, they admit to one another, hey, I don't have my shit together. And by the way, the best way that this happens is when one person does it without expecting to take turns. You just choose to reveal, I don't have my shit together. You know what? I've been playing this thing out, like trying to act like I'm all cool and stuff, and like I don't have this shit together. And to be seen in, number one, admitting that, and number two, having compassion for yourself about that, is actually a huge growth move. Not only is it a huge growth move just in general, where a person can sort of get some more connection, get some more acknowledgement, get more affirmation, but it's also a leadership move. It's a way that the person who's with you or the people who are with you get to share what's going on for them. There's this mutuality that shows up that's really cool. And then if you stay in contact with that person, as in a partnership, or that group of people, as in a team, you can actually say, well, I don't have my shit together in this area, but this person is really good in this area. Then you end up building this mutual teamwork based, like, we can get shit done because you're good at this and I'm good at another thing. And that's actually what I've been finding in my partnership, in my romantic partnership. Like, he's really good at certain things that I aspire to. I'm really good at things that he really wants to be better at. And so we have this connection of, like, I'm not that good. We've admitted I'm not that good at this part of it. Can you remind me? And this actually builds, this is the thing that builds the intimacy. That is the very basis of the intimacy that you can experience, is that admitting that you don't have it all together, and then being mutual in admitting that you don't have it together. And the fear is that the other people actually have it together. But basically, you can guarantee that everyone is basically thinking the same thing. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be on this show having this conversation right now about everybody not thinking they got it, because everybody doesn't say they're trying to hide that they don't have it together. Like, so you, that's baseline. Okay. Mm. Just assume that someone has something that they feel like they don't have their shit together, and then be willing enough and brave enough to share the thing that you don't have it together about. And then magic can happen after that, especially if you two commit to being partners in that piece. So don't do it with everybody, because not everybody's down for supporting you in that way. But if they are down for supporting you in that way, they could become like a really awesome bestie or a person who can really support you in your growth.
I love that, Tazima, and I think you you really hit it. You hit a lot of strong points, including one of the ones that is really far out there is, you know, do this without expecting reciprocation. Just you do this for yourself. This is something that you're going to decide that you're going to say the vulnerable thing in this particular moment, and you don't know where it's going to go. And what I have found is, because I, you know, that's one of the things that had me stuck in my own life for a long time, just this feeling that I'm, you know, there was an expectation that I had for myself that I'm supposed to have it together. And so when I didn't have it together, it wasn't even worrying about what other people would do if they found out I didn't have it together. I didn't even want to admit that to myself. You talked about having compassion for yourself. I was missing that piece of it. I didn't have approval for the fact that if I start looking into this, I might not have it together. And so I walked a certain way with what I envisioned was a perfection, and I tried to maintain that because to stop and take a look at this and actually reveal might show me that I don't have things, you know, I'm not where I think I am. And that was something that was very painful for me. But another thing that you said, you know, and talking about there are some people who won't support you in opening up this way. I think that's exactly right. And I think it's a longer path, a stronger path to walk to look at who you surround yourself with. So if you take that risk and you open up, you open up yourself vulnerably, and the other person doesn't receive this, then maybe that's someone who you don't need. And it will keep you from wasting time putting energy into a relationship that is based on some vision of perfection that doesn't really exist.
You know, we were supposed to be getting into some conversation about the Sex and the Struggle playlist, and I'm sure we'll be able to go over some songs because I feel like we're singing the right song right now in this conversation. And it is what is I think it's what so many people are dealing with on a daily basis. There's so much faking the funk out there as it relates to people having their shit together. I did a blog piece earlier this week called The Sexual Alienation Conspiracy. And I was speaking to the way that we all buy into, all of us. I write that mothers in the media, fathers in the faith-based, police and politicians, everybody buys into the sexual alienation conspiracy. And it's that conspiracy of I'm perfect, and I don't need anybody. I don't need to be close to anybody. And to get too close to anybody is weak. We live in a culture of hyper independence. And everybody wants to have their individual shine at the expense of everybody else. Nobody wants to surrender. Nobody wants to be vulnerable. And so with all of that going on, we all are part of this conspiracy. It's an open conspiracy. We just don't talk about it. It's secret to the extent that we don't talk about it, but it's a very open conspiracy to essentially quiet God. I look at it that way. It's like, you know, we don't want to quiet. We don't want to show the real power. We don't want to show the real power of connection. We want to pretend like as an individual we got it together, and everybody will play that game. So we all walk around closed off to everybody else. We're all part of the game, when in fact what we really want, man, I've seen people just kind of like fall out when they realize that they're connected to somebody, when somebody kind of nails them on the head with a piece of truth, something that they wanted to hear. Man, people buckle. And it just takes the right moment, the right word, and you're buckling into surrender. You're buckling into intimacy. And I know that it's it can be difficult when you're not used to it, when you're not around people who accept it. It's a high risk game. Intimacy can be a high risk game. Let me take the word game away. It can be a high risk consideration, but the rewards, incredible, absolutely incredible. So I do want to move into not, I don't want to run away from this, but I do want to move into some songs. And any other thoughts about this thing? If you were saying to someone, I like to walk away giving people something. Where does the intimacy growth begin for an individual? What would you say to an individual who wants to express and live with more intimacy, emotional and sexual intimacy in their life? What would the two of you say to them?
Kind of piggybacking on something that David said and something that I've been working with, and I didn't say directly, but this piece of who is on your team. Like, who are the people with whom you can be mutual, you can create safety, you feel good about sharing whatever comes up. One of my mentors gave me the vision of like a bullseye in my connections. The people who are at the bullseye, the center core, my core inner circle, those are the people who I know at any time I need to, whether they can pick up the phone or not, they will respond to me when I have something really serious going on. I can reveal to them anything. Those are my inner core people. And then the next level is people who are ready to be that, but I haven't necessarily tested them yet. They look like they might be. They might be a new acquaintance. They might be someone who like they showed me something that looks like they might be an inner circle person. And so they're in that next tier. And then the next tier out from there are people who are not necessarily going to be qualified or have been removed from the inner circle. So then that's the next tier. So there's the people who are on the way out in that third tier, and then fourth tier are just people who are just they are acquaintances. I don't know them like that. And then beyond are people who are just like Facebook friends, for example. I've never met them. So I would encourage people, and this is whether you're dating, this is whether you're creating friendships, colleagues, business connections, anything. Start testing people. Start seeing where they fall, because the quicker you can sort, the quicker you can have a team, a life team, a group of people around you who are really down for you and who are moving in the same direction. The longer you delay, the more you're going to question who you have. This life is way too short to be wasting time with people who are not going to get it. They're not ever going to fucking get it.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Like, why are you fucking? Why are you fucking with them? Test them now. Test them today. If you got somebody who you like, oh, I don't know, just fucking find out. Just get open with them. It might hurt. I just want to let you know that it might hurt. You might get hurt in the process, but good. You hurt. In order for you to grow stronger, you got to break a little something. You got to break the muscle down and sort of in order to build up bulk. You get a scrape, you learn better. After you get hurt, after you make a mistake, you actually get more intelligent on that particular piece. If you try to be perfect, you don't even get as much. Not, this is scientific, people. It's science. You know, y'all know I'm a scientist. I love my science. It's scientifically proven. It learns better if you make mistakes. So go out there, get hurt. You might be surprised at who are the people who show up for you. You might be thinking it's one person, like, you know, this one girlfriend is going to be the main one who I can trust. And then she trips. And then you're like, oh, got it. Didn't think, well, I thought we were closer than we actually are. And you might want to go back and test it again. And if she shows up in a similar way, it might be time to put her on that next tier out. Okay, so My real guidance and offering is to test people by being more vulnerable yourself and see how people react and see if they are if they're worthy of being in that inner circle.
Yeah. Tazima, I wish you had told me this about a year and a half ago. You would have saved me a lot of time.
Keep implementing. I know somebody else going to show up.
You know, we've been working on these retreats, you know, creating these experiences that give people, you know, the intimate connection. We teach them how to develop their own practices that will give them that sexual touch or that just touch or whatever they're missing in their lives. We help them build practices around that. And some of these amazing places like Costa Rica, and this, the next one is actually we leave on Thursday going to Maine for this next retreat. And, you know, I didn't think that this would be difficult with exactly the wrong approach. I reached out to people after Betsy and I put so much time and effort and thought into exactly how each day was going to go, what, you know, what experience we wanted in this block of time and what experience we wanted in the next block of time and how wonderful it will feel to have that much attention on you. And we talk to people and we tell them about, and we give them the, you know, how much, you know, we're telling them we're brilliant. We've actually thought this through and we've done all of these things. And then we'd get, yeah, that sounds wonderful. And the next thing we know, they're, yeah, I've got something else that came up and blah, blah, blah. And I was wondering, what is going on? We've done all of this. I know this is going to be an amazing experience. Why are we not able to get people? And then when it finally dawned on me, instead of me telling them what I've done, what I've created, what they're going to be a part of, I just ask them, what is your desire? What is it you want to feel? What is it you want to experience? And let them tell me. And some of them would basically sell themselves the experience. What they wanted was so clear, and in talking through this would get so clear that it was exactly what they wanted. And they were coming up with things I had not even thought about. And on the other side, it would also reveal very quickly that this person I'm talking to, this next person I'm talking to, they're never really going to get there. Because they tell me, yeah, I want that, I want that. Okay, well, what's standing in your way? Well, then I get a list of things that are standing in the way, and we can talk about each one of those. And then now they're gone. Those things are gone. And now, yes, you can have that. And I, well, now there's some other things that start creeping in, and I started to see, oh, this is just something you do. When you see the thing that you say you want and you can have it, you're going to have to sabotage that, because otherwise you just might get it. And that clarity, that was one thing that I had to work with for myself in terms of how do I reach people to get them to embrace this thing that I wanted to see birth. But I agree totally. Testing people early. And Ulysses, we talked about this about a month ago. And I forget, we were planning an event, and I said, jump in there, fuck it up quickly so we can fix it. And,
right.
And that has been, yeah, that, you know, we can spend a long time planning it,
right,
and trying to make it perfect. But in the end, there's always going to be something that we could have done better. So let's just get that done, figure out what needs to be fixed, and let's do it again. And let's keep, you know, it's like you bump your head. You don't lay there on the floor and cry about it. You jump up and figure out what went wrong, and then you do it again.
I agree.
Hopefully you don't bump your head again.
Yeah, I had a vision of when I was a little kid and bumping the head thing. But I tell you this, the truth that you two are speaking to around, you know, we're using the word test as not to be confused by, you know, playing a game. We're not playing a game with people. We are stating what we want. We're being very clear about it. We're putting it out there. Tazima, yep, scientist. Tazima is going to take the scientific approach. She's going to put it out there. She's going to see what happens. She's going to get some responses, and she's going to do something again. And so this is what I think we want to build, what we want to have. You're going to take some risk. And so the test that we're talking about is going ahead and risking your truth. We're not talking about, you know, playing a game. We say risk, just risk your truth. Go out there and say, this is what I want. And it will start to come to you. I like you too. I know you all have had those moments where it's like, I ain't settling for nothing else. And you had those what appeared to be magical moments where exactly what it was you wanted started showing up. Something very close, if not exactly what you wanted, started showing up. And it was funny to me as we sit there and we scratch our heads, like, wow, how did that happen? That's exactly what I asked for. Now, when some bad shit happened, we okay with that. We like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew some bad shit was going to happen.
That's right.
But when good stuff happens, we like, wow, how did that happen? So
there's
a – yeah, it is. It's like an energy that goes with – there's a disposition that we have to have, a disposition when it comes to risking the truth that says, I actually can have what I want. And I don't have to wait. I'll never forget, Zima, you talking about the, you know, the we're having a conversation. You were talking about, you know, how you deal with men, and you let them know, this is what I want. I'm laying it out there for you right now. I want to get married. I want to have children. I want this. I want that. You just kind of laid it out. I don't know if those were the exact components, but you let them know from the door, and that helps you to get either more deeply connected with that individual or past that individual to where the real thing was versus playing around in this space like something going to change here. Like if I play here long enough, I'm going to change this person. Which one of us has not been in that situation where we danced and kept dancing and kept dancing and we just could not get the rhythm with that person? But no matter how many songs we danced to, the very first song told us we weren't going to get the fucking rhythm, but we just kept dancing and dancing and dancing. Next thing you know, the club lights came on and the party was over. And it's like, damn, I wasted all my time on this person. Well, you saw his ass couldn't dance to begin with. You just kept dancing with him. So,
and worse yet, you was admiring the dude that was next to him, but didn't go over there. Hello.
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. How about this? As promised, I want to do a couple of things. There's actually a song that's on my mind when it comes to intimacy and connection and vulnerability. And I'm asking the two of you to give it some thought. Let's see what comes up for you kind of quick. There's a song that's always with me, and it's by the marvelous Minnie Riperton. She had a song called Inside My Love. You two know what I'm talking about? Either one of you all ever heard that song, Inside My Love? She's got I think it might be on the Adventures in Paradise album of years ago. Mm. But it's such a vulnerable, intimate song. You know, she's talking about two strangers just meeting, getting to know one another. And she's talking about, you can come inside my love. She's welcoming this person inside her love. And it's just such, it's such a beautiful, sensuous song that whenever I think of intimacy, when I think of intimate songs, that's the first one that comes to mind for me. Minnie Riperton's Inside My Love. And I'm definitely going to have that on the playlist come September the 16th when we do Sex and the Struggle at the MJ Free Theater, Chester, Pennsylvania. I'm dropping a quickie here. You got to be there. If you don't have your tickets, get your tickets to Sex and the Struggle, September the 16th, 2017, Chester, PA. It's going to be a fantastic time. What comes to mind for the two of you when you think of songs that speak to intimacy, whether it be emotional or sexual intimacy? What comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that. Because for me, I think the songs that hit me the hardest are the songs that hit me emotionally. I think that's where I start to unravel, you know, whether I'm in a sexually intimate surrounding, or if I'm just, you know, sitting alone, I guess intimate with myself, it's that emotional, almost quenching, that just really feels good to me. So it's not necessarily, you know, songs to fuck to, but we're talking about mm-hmm. intimacy, which is, in my mm-hmm. mind, that a next level where you start to really feel into the person. Or if you're sitting by yourself, it might just be a mm-hmm. moment where you're, you know, reflecting back on your thoughts, but that music just takes you someplace. Yeah. That's one that's hitting me right now is one by Childish Gambino called Redbone.
Mm.
And I listened to that song with, you know, thinking about, and I don't know what his intent of the song, but the first few times I heard this song, it was all about, you know, this woman and you wanting to have her, and you can have her, but then you've got to be prepared for, you know, what's going to, you know, what you're going to have to put up with, you know, guys scheming, trying to get your girl or whatever the case may be. But then it started to open up more for me. And it actually comes back to what we're talking about today. He says, you can have it if you want it, but stay woke.
Mm.
And so mm-hmm. it now is hitting me at a whole different level where we're not even talking about romance. We're talking about, you know, the thing that you want, you can have it. But as you said, just talking about somebody, you know, saying that they want this or how easy it is to say, you know, to something bad that happened, just of course that happened. And whereas something good that happens, we're shocked. You know, mm-hmm. we can't believe it, or at least we express that this is something beyond our belief. We didn't expect that to happen. As opposed to, you know, I want this thing. This is this thing. It could be a person. It could be something I want in my life. And I'm going to expect to have it. And when I do have it, I'm going to keep my attention on it. When it comes, I'm going to keep my attention on it. I'm not going to go to sleep because it's too, you know, I'm getting too much of that good thing, that thing I want, that I can't take it. I can't take all that sensation. I've got to, you know, put my attention on something else. I'm going to keep my attention on this thing that I want, and I'm going to accept all of it. And, that song has hit me in that way, which is, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about at this point.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, so for me, intimacy for me is actually my partner knowing me deeply, like knowing what makes me tick. And part of that, my partner being able to know me now, my current partner especially, he's not only really highly intuitive, but he also is really, I have revealed a lot of myself to him. And one of the things that I have been working on in general, and I work with a lot of women who are this way, is I'm an alpha woman. And my living is telling people what to do. I'm a coach. I mean, like, part of it is listening, but part of it is like telling people, you know, calling people on their shit. So I'm in charge a lot. I'm also a leader in many social groups with which I participate. So for me, one of the things that I really like about a long-term committed partnership like the one that I'm in is that I get to go off duty. And the partners that I've loved the most in my life are those who have said, you know, you're not in charge right now. And so as far as song lyrics in particular, there are two songs, and both of them are very instructive. It's like, just tell me what to do. Like, I tell people what to do all the time. I want you to out-masculine me. So the one, old school, is it's a little sexist, and it relies on wine, but it's Come Go With Me by Teddy Pendergrass.
Beautiful. I love that.
I mean, y'all, really? Like, the how hard this man goes with these lyrics, I swear, it's so He's like, see, my car is right outside. We can leave right now. That's if you're ready to go. I know you're just meeting me, and you see, I understand it. I understand it if you said no, but baby, you know, don't do it, baby. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Just go ahead. Like, all right. You know. Telling her how it's going to be, just come with me, girl.
Oh, my God.
It's cool. It's cool.
And then, man.
I brought this song up before. It's Body Parts by Rafael Sadiq. And the first, he comes straight out the gate talking about go upstairs and change. We going to do some things. What? It's just, okay. You know, I need my man, like, this is, I need my man to tell me, like, this is how it's going to be. And like there has been already, he has already established with me that I'm safe. And that's the difference between this being instructive in like an abusive way, is that his main concern is my safety and my well-being. So I already know that. This is something that I learned about in the BDSM community when I was part of that. I literally put my life in someone's hands. Like, I could literally die or be injured as a result of something that happens in BDSM. And so I'm literally trusting this person so deeply with my safety that I've got to let go. And so in my long-term partnership now, he knows, like, I need to feel safe. And then once I'm in that safe place, like, he can just tell me what to do. I'm going to trust him. I can completely surrender. It is such, like, it's such a relief. Like, it feels so good. Like, I don't want to think about anything. I don't want to direct anything. You just take the lead, sir. Tell me what to do. I will do it, and I can relax and get into my happy place, you know? So those two for me.
Give me that first one. I always forget the Rafael Sadiq one. What is that one?
Body Parts.
All right, I'm sharing this on Facebook right now. I'll go back and I'll explain this to my friends a little later, but that's Rafael. I love me some Rafael Sadiq, man.
I was listening to him.
I just love that dude's voice, and you know, the Teddy Pendergrass brings back so many memories. That song in particular, I was probably like,
right,
14 or 15 when that came out, and you hear a woman in the background, she, like, you know, it's like, oh no, baby. Well, you know,
no.
He's like, believe me, you won't be under any kind of pressure. She's like, please, I cannot stand pressure. I'm
so
telling
great.
You, as I'm listening to the two of you all talk, I'm thinking to myself, I refuse not to have the two of you in my life for the rest of my life. So don't dare. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn what form this relationship takes. Whatever we're working on, I refuse to be without the two of you in my life for the rest of my life. We got too many good jokes.
Yeah.
We got too much stuff that we could share. And again, this is Sex and the Struggle is more than just, you know, this idea, an event, a podcast. It really is like it's a revival. It's a celebration. Every time I get a chance to do with this with the two of you, and when Frenchie joins us or Adem joins us, it's like a celebration of friendship, a celebration of sexuality, a celebration of life. And so Y'all ain't gonna never not be without me. I will find y'all asses. I'm just letting you mugs know. I will find y'all. Anywho,
oh, yeah.
We are coming up against the clock. We got 30 seconds. And Tazima, if folks want to find you, and they always looking for you, and Dave, Tazima, where did they find you?
InfiniteRelating.com, and also on Facebook /Tazima, T-A-Z-I-M-A.
Right on. And Brother Dave, where do people find you?
I'm on Facebook at Be Well, Be Orgasmic, and I've got quite a few projects going on, so I'll be expanding that, and we'll be doing a lot more.
and fantastic. I'm Ulysses Butch Slaughter. We are signing out. Sex and the Struggle. We will be back next Tuesday, and we will also be at Sex and the Struggle, September 16th, 2017, at the MJ Free Theater. Look to see you then. Dave and Tazima, thank you so much. I'll talk to you too soon. Good night.
It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.